Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of the Carnegie Mellon University Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center sponsored by the Department of Defense. A transcript of today's podcast will be available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts. My name is Eileen Rubel, and I'm the tech lead for the SEI's Agile and Government practice. Joining me today are Tracy Cassidy and Carrie Gardner, who are both researchers in the CERT Division's National Insider Threat Center. Today, we're here to talk about their work on workplace violence and insider threat. Let's start by having you each briefly talk a little bit about your background and your experiences, how you wound up at the SEI, and how you wound up doing work on insider threat.
Okay, I'll start. I was working as a psychotherapist in California for a long time, and so I have a psych background, and I was looking at, and I worked for the U.S. Department of Justice for the U.S. Pretrial and Probation Services and Bureau of Prisons. So I worked with clients going in or coming out of prisons. And so a lot of them had committed insider threat acts. So I have familiarity with working with clients who have done that. And also I'm interested in the human elements behind cybersecurity. So that's kind of what led me here.
Okay. And Carrie?
Yeah. So I celebrate my 1 year full-time anniversary in June. Before that, though, actually, like Tracy, I have more of a non-traditional background. So in my undergrad, I studied the social sciences, focusing on political science, psychology, and criminal justice, kind of gearing myself for like an intel analyst position. And then when I did have an internship there, I was more focused on the cyber. And so then I decided to pursue a technical master's degree in information science, okay, which brought me here to Pittsburgh, where I did get an internship at the SEI on the insider threat team. And so I'm able to kind of use those knowledge, skills, and abilities to the insider threat domain, which is a very multidisciplinary space, and I really enjoy that.
Okay, great. For our audience members who don't know a lot about this area of research, could you talk briefly about what we mean when we talk about insider threat? What does that really encompass?
So the CERT National Insider Threat Center has been working on issues of insider threat for the past 16 years. Several of the people on our team were the ones that pioneered that work. So the focus has evolved from looking more at technically detectable insider threats. Now involves more the behavioral aspects. So when we're talking about insider threat, we're talking about people who or individuals who have authorized access or had mm-hmm. authorized access to an organization to use their assets either maliciously or unintentionally to act in a way that negatively impacts the organization. So things like theft of intellectual property, sabotage of IT systems, national security espionage, fraud, particularly in the banking and finance sector and healthcare sectors, terrorism, and we also look at unintentional insider threats. So those have to do with things like clicking on phishing emails,
okay,
or leaving your work laptop at the bus stop. So because of the evolution of insider threats, we're also looking at terrorism and workplace violence, so more of the behavioral aspects. And we're focusing on our work on workplace violence and insider threat to harm and self of others, because a lot of times people who are on the pathway to violence are also suicidal, so that's why we're looking at both of them. And okay, it's also DOD's mandated, and DOD and federal government spaces are mandated to set up insider threat programs, and they're also mandated to involve workplace violence in those.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about your research process and your research objectives for this work?
So we started with a literature review and kind of assessed the psychology, criminal justice literature that kind of studied workplace violence, and then even the information sciences, and seeing like where workplace violence is kind of like us going in the field. And then we also did some case coding. So we collected workplace violence incidents and encoded the particular incidents on fields that we kind of thought were relevant for insider threat research. From there, we were able to kind of then create a factor tree model of all these different variables associated with the incidents and kind of bin or categorize them into different groupings, and naturally fell out a chronology, which kind of gave a temporal description of how a particular incident were to unfold. So we can see like precursor events that kind of foreshadow the event or the escalation of events that were to occur. Mm-hmm. So after that factor tree and then the chronology that came from it, we're able to then kind of like pull out indicators, which kind of take observables preceding the event. And then we can then identify controls or safeguards that can be used to measure those indicators.
And what kinds of indicators would we be talking about, just as a couple of examples?
Mm-hmm. So like on the behavioral side, like perhaps like anger, HR, like formal policy violations, or technical violations even. So if there's someone who's like revisiting dark websites,
okay,
that could be something of concern.
Okay. So can you tell me about your research objectives?
Sure. In thinking about the technical detection of insider threat, we realized that there were not a lot of known capabilities for insider threat tools to understand a heightened risk of workplace violence. So we realized now that this ability is augmented by new cyber data that's available through HR records and personnel records that can give us some more information about the behavioral pieces of insider threat. And our solution was in support of the DoD and mandated insider threat programs and their efforts seeking to discover technical and socio-technical indicators which can be used in operational environments to strengthen the capabilities of these tools. And basically, our end game is to look at how to mitigate the risk these employees may pose for themselves or others within the organization.
Okay. So how did it go? What were the findings or the artifacts that you were able to produce?
So we have three main findings. The first was the development of the chronology, which takes previous work and the pathway, the critical pathway, from Eric Shaw and our work at the National Insider Threat Center. The second was indicators and controls. So how can organizations kind of put into place operational controls to measure indicators of workplace violence? And the third was, this really is a strong exemplar of the need and value add of kind of incorporating behavioral data into an insider threat mitigation strategy. I think that's a big one just across insider threat domain as a whole.
And as far as the artifacts, as Carrie said, we have the pathway to intended harm that we developed, which was based on the critical pathway from our work with Eric Shaw years ago. And also a combination with the pathway to violence by Calhoun and Weston. And so we married those two together and also morphed it into one that will look at issues of intended harm to self as well. And we call that the pathway of intended harm. So we also have the blog post, Workplace Violence is an Insider Threat. We'll be releasing a white paper soon and also a full report we're expected hopefully by the end of the summer. And we're presenting at several conferences on the topic coming
up. Great. I'm glad to hear that. So I'm not familiar with a lot of this terminology. I'm wondering if you could give me and our viewers a description of what does that pathway toward intended violence look like?
Sure. You can start out, the start of our pathway has personal predisposition. So what is happening for the person in their life that might push them more towards going down a pathway? Things like that can be, you know, family history of suicide or, you know, substance use in the past. And then when people kind of start moving down the pathway, when they move to concerning behaviors, such as conflicts in the office and, you know, missing work, absenteeism, things like that, when those two things come together and they start moving towards whether they're disgruntled or, you know, getting further into depression from feeling suicidal, they kind of move into a, I could do something to stop this situation, whether it be hurt someone else, hurt themselves, or both. And then they kind of move into the, I would do this. I'm going to move forward, and I'm going to, it's kind of their tipping point, and they move forward. Okay. So they're looking at what they call probing and breaching. So they're looking at checking out the work environment and see maybe where they could come in and do something, watching people's schedules, things like that, and making plans to move forward. There's also a lot of leakage behavior that happens around that time where people are actually telling people that they're wanting to do this. And in a fair number of cases, they actually do tell someone, which is an ability for the technical detection to pick that up if they're doing it, you know, via email or telling coworker to stay home from work so that they're not showing up on the day that the rampage might happen. And then it kind of, you know, if it doesn't stop at any point along this path, then they can move forward to the violent act itself.
Okay, thank you for walking me through that.
Sure.
To build on what Tracy said, one of the things that we're looking at is operationalizing these threat scenarios. So kind of taking model examples of workplace violence incidents and kind of creating scenarios where we can simulate this activity in our test environment. So at the National Insider Threat Center, we have a tool testing lab where we take industry tools and we can test and validate these tools if they can see observables of insider threat activity to see if these controls are in the measuring process is able to detect and prevent those activities from occurring. So we can then take these scenarios and simulate the activity into scripts. And the next process for this work plan will be kind of like taking that and then validating and kind of like simulating the activity in the tool testing lab.
Okay, great. So you talked a little bit to this, but where do you see this? What's next? Where do you see this headed in the future?
So I think like the big next thing is number one is case coding more incidents. So just collecting more data and kind of gaining more insight into the models and kind of like what we can extract from those. Then for me, I definitely want to kind of incorporate some text analysis. So one of the things I focus on at the SCI is kind of doing some natural language processing and kind of seeing if we can detect observables early on for prevention. So an example for this would be like, can we have some kind of capability where we read employee emails and then identify if anger, for instance, is kind of spiking? And can we have like stage an early intervention perhaps with that?
Okay.
So just kind of like an intervention mitigation strategy for that. And then, again, kind of going back to the scenarios and kind of simulating that threat activity and then evaluating if those tools for insider threat mitigation can apply to these type of incidents where we can observe and then measure and perhaps even detect when precursors or indicators of workplace violence are actually taking place.
Okay. Do you have anything to add on, Tracy?
I was just going to say, in our group, we work on helping people build their insider threat programs. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important to, as they're thinking about kind of workplace violence, to really pull from their threat assessment teams and work together to have a more full picture of who the person is, because that's the most important thing, is to understand that the person that works, the employee, is, you know, holistically to understand them. So.
Okay, great.
And also, in addition to looking at building insider threat teams, I also think that it'd be really important to look at the workplace violence work that we've done and also combine it with the positive incentives work that we've done, which we have a podcast and blogs on as well, and kind of look at how can we help people along the way, what positive incentives can corporations implement to help people before they move further down the path. And also, just in thinking about future work, it would be great to try to replicate the work that we did with this project in looking at pathway to radicalization, because that's definitely another, especially national security issue, that's going to be coming up in the future. So.
And then to build on what Tracy said, it'd also be interesting to, if we could acquire some labeled data sets of user log activity, for instance, and seeing if we can kind of then extract, you know, information or precursors before the escalation event occurred. So we can kind of gain perhaps information on what they were doing technically, or perhaps who were they chatting with, what websites were they visiting before the actual incident. And that'd be really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you both so much for joining me today to talk about this. Tracy has also authored a blog post on workplace violence and insider threat that can be found at insights.sei.cmu.edu. Click on the author tab and find Tracy Cassidy's name. That's Cassidy with a C. We'll also provide links to the resources mentioned in this podcast in the transcript. This podcast is available on the SCI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts and on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site and the SCI's YouTube channel. As always, if you have any questions or want to discuss this further with us, you can reach us at info@sei.cmu.edu. Thank you.